When schools gave students laptops and tablets during the pandemic, they also installed tracking software. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Marielle Segarra, and for Molly Wood. During the pandemic, a lot of school districts loaned devices, laptops or tablets, to students who didn't have their own. And many of those schools installed software on the devices that lets them track what a student is searching for and looking at. School administrators say they need to monitor students this way so they can flag if a kid is in trouble, like maybe they're Googling certain words that might indicate they're thinking about harming themselves. But do students and their parents actually know they're being tracked? And in what ways? Elizabeth Laird is the Director of Equity in Civic Technology at the Center for Democracy and Technology and has recently done research on this.
School districts are clear that, you know, when students are using devices, they shouldn't have any expectation of privacy. But, you know, how they're tracking what students are doing and when, they are not as transparent about that. So, for example, one of the things that our research was interested in was when are schools tracking what students are doing? So is it limited to school hours or is it happening outside of then? But what we found is that only 1 in 4 teachers report that monitoring is specifically limited to school hours. And so, you know, if you're a student or you're a parent, you may not know that students are being tracked, not just during the school day, but actually, you know, after school hours or on the weekend.
And what do you think schools are actually looking for? What do they want to know about what students are doing?
One reason that schools are tracking what students are doing is a perception that they have to do it for legal compliance. So there is a law called the Children's Internet Protection Act. And in order for schools to receive funding to support their educational technology efforts through the E-Rate funding, which is a federal funding program, they have to say that they comply with SIPA. The other reason is for purposes of keeping them safe. We've seen schools really rely on increasingly this kind of student activity monitoring to do like keyword searches to try and understand if a student is considering harming themselves or potentially perpetrating an act of mass violence.
What are the concerns you have with schools monitoring students on their school-issued devices?
I think the main concern that drove our research in this area was one of equity and potentially, you know, limiting opportunities for certain groups of students. And that comes down to having certain groups of students be surveilled disproportionately than their peers. And then that would fall along certain demographics like socioeconomic status as well as race. And I think our research does suggest that that can happen. Another concern that we had was, would this potentially result in outing LGBTQ plus students if you're monitoring for terms or, you know, resources or websites that may be, you know, sexual in nature, something that could be a student, you know, reaching out for additional resources or support could be flagged. You know, their school could become aware of that and maybe that gets shared with their parent in a way that that student isn't comfortable with. And we did find that the majority of parents and teachers and students are concerned about that. You know, schools exist to help, you know, young minds become the best that they can be. And part of that means you create an environment in which students are free to express themselves. They can learn. They can make mistakes. And do these tools actually have a chilling effect on students' ability to access resources that they need to access or not really feel like they can say what they want to say? And our research does suggest that that is true. 80% of students report that they don't or that they're more careful about what they access online when they know they're being monitored. And almost 60% say that they don't feel comfortable expressing their true thoughts and feelings when they're being monitored. So I think the larger point here is, you know, do these tools actually undermine the mission of schools and trying to help students become the best that they can be?
Do you think there's a way to do this that is helpful and not invasive?
There's definitely room for improvements for schools to be way more transparent around what they're doing and tell parents and students, you know, this is when we're tracking you. This is why we're tracking you. This is how long we keep this information. And that's, you know, per our research, isn't happening right now. And that if school districts do choose to use these tools, really minimizing the information that is collected, who has access to it, to only, you know, the most critical uses that you have articulated as a school. And then I think the last thing that I would flag that they can do is really just building capacity within the whole system, from within schools to, you know, within communities, to be having a conversation around what are ethical and responsible uses of these tools and what are the things that folks are most worried about so they can guard against them.
Elizabeth Laird is a director at the Center for Democracy and Technology. And now for some related links. Parents and teachers surveyed by Laird's team said they felt the benefits of this software generally outweighed the risks. And half of students said they were very or somewhat comfortable with the software. But the folks who were the most positive about the technology were at schools that were already using it, which for Laird raised a question. Does the presence of these programs normalize them and normalize surveillance? Another stat, 86% of teachers said their schools were providing devices to students during the pandemic, twice as many as before. The Wall Street Journal did a story about this kind of AI that can scan students' devices for signs that they're anxious or depressed, have an eating disorder, or that they're getting bullied or considering self-harm. And it quotes some school district employees, like a superintendent who says a program like this allowed the school to step in and help a student who really needed it. Another school employee said he had mixed feelings about the surveillance, but, quote, if we're going to err on one side, it has to be on the side of safety. I guess the question is, what are schools doing to make sure these programs are used to help students and not to discipline them or look for minor infractions of school policies? Especially because, as Laird pointed out, there's an equity issue here. Lower-income students are less likely to have their own devices and more likely to use the school-issued ones, which means they're also more likely to be tracked. Jesus Alvarado, Sasha Fernandez, Stephanie Hughes, and Jody Becker produce the show. Our engineer is Gary O'Keefe. I'm Marielle Segarra, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.